times. No, not very. I usually leave my coat behind. That's the style, but there we go. This isn't a message I intended to bring. I've sat and I've listened, and I realized this morning that the message I prepared wasn't the message that I needed to bring. And so this is the message that that I've brought. There are some amazing verses in the Old Testament, verses of encouragement. This is one. Father, I pray now as we look to your word that you would enlarge your word, you would quicken your word, you would quicken me, help me to hide behind Jesus. Lord, this is your word, and let it do its work in this place, I pray. Father, we're living in the very last of days, the very, very last of days. Father God, your word tells us to look for the encouragement, to look for the help, to look for the faith that abounds in your word. And so we're doing that this morning. We look into the faith chapters. We bless you and praise you and thank you for amazing grace and amazing love that this king should die for us. Father, we thank you for the blood of the cross that still flows today. Father, we thank you the old rugged cross still saves. Work in this place, I pray, and have mercy upon me in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is one of my... one of the bedrocks. It's Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, and just striking in at verse 1. And these are amazing words, absolutely amazing. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. So Joshua was a minister to everyone, Moses included. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place, says God, that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your course. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And these are the words. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Absolutely amazing words. I want to move on to the book of Judges. I know how familiar you are with the book of Judges, but there was no king in Israel. And so the judges arose. And I want to look at Samson. Samson was 20 years a judge in Israel. So look at the book of Judges, chapter 13. Chapter 13 of the book of Judges. And just verses 24 and 25, just to get us on the road. And they're simple verses. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. Now, there are seven miraculous births in the Word of God. The birth of Isaac, the birth of Jacob, the birth of Joseph, Samson, Samuel, John the Baptist, and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. They are the seven miraculous births. Now, Samson was something really, really amazing. I know how familiar you are with the book of Samson, with the book of Judges, but Samson was a judge in Israel. And he created havoc amongst the Philistines. Absolute havoc amongst the Philistines. I know if you know the story of the little foxes and the 100 that he released and the damage they did, but Samson was repaying the Israelites for what they'd done to Israel and to himself. Now, he went and caught those foxes and let them go. He took oil and put it up on their tails and sent them into the midst of the Philistines. He was being avenged. Absolutely avenged. He smote them hip and thigh with great slaughter. And he went down then after that and dwelt at the rock in Edom. And the Philistines, the Bible says, this is chapter 15, verse 9, went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. Lehi means the high place. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson. Are we come up to do it? To him as he hath done unto us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are ruling over us, our rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto them and unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so I have done unto them. And they said unto him, and this is the church of God, this is Samson's people, they said unto him, we have come to bind thee. We have come to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. You know, many good men are bound by the people of God, are bound by the church they represent. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into the hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with 2 new cords. And brought him up from the rock. And when he came into Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. And his bands loosed from his hands. This is the power of the Holy Ghost. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hands, and called that place Ramath Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called to the Lord, and said, thou hast given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst? Shall I fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? And here's the great miracle. Here is the great miracle. And God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Therefore he called the name of the place Enakakore, which is, well, it's in a place called Lehi to this day. And the Bible says he judged Israel for 20 years. Instead of triumphing at the fact that God had raised him up, Samson up, in the success, his people went up and took him and handed him over to his enemies. A man given power by God, bound by the church, told not to rock the boat. I can't tell you how many times I've been told not to rock the boat. They're innumerable. I said, you're a dinosaur, you're forever rocking the boat. Well, the day that I don't rock the boat is the day that I'll fall in. Rock the boat. Don't be afraid to rock the boat. Don't upset anyone. That's the message for today. Well, let me tell you this. Upset people come to Christ. Upset people come to Christ. They fly to Christ. So you upset the people. Verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily on Samson. The fire of the Holy Ghost came and freed him. Freed him. The fire of the Lord. That's what we need in our churches today. The fire of the Lord. He found a new jawbone, a fresh jawbone of an ass. He took it and he slew 1,000 men. And then he cast it away. And verse 18 tells me that he prayed. This is the prayer of God's one-man army. He thought his fighting days were over, but God had other plans for Samson, many other plans for Samson. You and I today, in the church today, need to receive the abundance promised us. We need to receive the abundance promised us. He cried out to the Lord and said, you have given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. But now he says, after this great victory, shall I die of thirst? Shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the enemy? Satan goes after Samson. And if you preach the gospel, Satan will go after you. Any minister that preaches the gospel, Satan will go after. The insipid ministries of many today, Satan will leave alone because they cause no disturbance. They ruffle no feathers and people sit quite contented in their seats. You know, the saddest road to hell today isn't the one from the brothel, isn't the road of the drug addict, isn't the road of the wife beater, isn't the road of the pedophile. The saddest road to hell today is to sit under the word of God and never be touched. Never, ever be saved. To be a castaway. To be a castaway. Now, Samson allowed the enemy to bind him. They were those of his own household. The enemies within the church tie up good men of God. They tie them up. They hold them back. Never look outside for help. Bow the knee and pray. Bow the knee and pray. It took the Spirit of the Lord to set Samson free. And I pray every day, Lord, uphold me with your free spirit. Uphold me, Lord, with your free spirit. And that's what it takes to set us free from whatever binds us. Sometimes I get to talk to people and they talk their problems to death. They talk them to death. And I stand and I listen and I've been there myself and I understand. But that's the time. That's the time to let go and to let God. When your problems seem insurmountable, that's the time to let go. And I'm speaking to myself here. That's the time to let go and let God. In any distress, God will supply all your need. The riches of God are immeasurable. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, it's not funds. It's not funds. It's unconsecrated funds. It's where these funds come from that bring a church down. Let go and let God. And God will supply everything you want in abundance. And Jesus said, speaking for his Father, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I stand at the door and knock. But the handle's on the inside. Open it, he says, and let me in. Samson needed to see what he already had, what he had, what had been given him. The jawbone of an ass. But with God, it was enough to win the day. One man with God, one man, you know, Sue and I, a few weeks ago, we were going through a rough time, and we went back to Lucca. We went back to Lucca to spend a weekend, where the revival broke out in 1904 and 05. And we stood where Evan Roberts had stood. And we stood at the gravesite of Roberts and Dan Roberts and the family, and we looked at the church at Lucca, and they had so little, you know, they had nothing. Nothing compared to what we have today. And yet one man who could cry with an open heart, with a broken heart, Lord, bend me, bend the church, bend me. And God bent him. And from one man, the revival broke out. It broke out in Wales. He spoke only in Welsh. And yet English people come, you know, I'm up there, I'm amongst the exiles. You know, I'm on duty up there. That's what it's about. But, you know, they came to listen. The Spirit of the Lord spoke, and the revival broke out. And 100,000 souls he prayed for, he was given over and over again. One man in our day, totally committed. One woman in our day, totally committed, can do that. A new jawbone, not rotten, not decayed. And sometimes we need to understand what we've got, Christ in us, hope of glory. And we need to put him to work. We need to put him to work. You know, the staff of Moses became the rod of God. Moses had his doubts. But God put them to rest. Do you remember him in front of Satan? Satan, it was Pharaoh. Do you remember him? God said, what have you got in your hand? And a rod. And he said, cast it down. And he cast it down and it became a serpent. It frightened the life out of him. He backed off as fast as he could, away from it. And God said, go and pick it up by the tail. I remember as a kid picking a cat up by the tail. I tell you what, I had more scratches than I could cope with. It turned on me as quick as a flash. Can you imagine picking? I worked as a countryside ranger. I have to count the adders, you know. Oh, dear. I said, Lord, don't there be an adder under this tin sheet. And we put tin sheets down to attract the adders. So they would go under in the heat and we would be able to lift the tin sheets and count them. And when we lifted one, if we saw one, oh dear, pick it up by the tail, he said. God said, pick it up by the tail. Don't move away from it. Move up to it and pick it up by the tail. It had become a serpent, or it seemed to be. But it was only there. So the servant of God is a mighty man. The servant of God could feel the divine power that will enable him to deal with it, to pick it up. Take it by the tail, said God to Moses. Faith takes anything by the tail. Faith can take anything by the tail. A shepherd's crook later became the rod of God. the anointing of the Spirit's power on a man or a woman's mission. God was with Moses. Take it by the tail. Don't run away. Move in on it and see me at work, says God. Experience gained in the school of God is the backbone, the jawbone of his strength when we wield it. When we wield it. The rod of God, the jawbone of an ass. With them, we can prove the reality of God. We don't have to look in faraway places. We don't have to bring in big name preachers. We just have to see what we have, what God has given us. Recognize what God has given us and pick it up. Samson was celebrating victory and yet dying of thirst. And it happens. It happens to those who work for God but don't spend enough time with him. Paul warns in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us. We can run about like chickens with our heads cut off and not see the downward trend that we're on, not see it. I know because I've been there. I can say it because I've been down there. I've been down that backward tread, that downward tread. And you learn. God's in the dark places. God's under the juniper tree with you when you get there. You find God there. I met God down the pit on many occasions. We give out, but we don't take in. And many, many good men end up in Delilah's lap. They never fully understand why, how they came to that place. David is a great example of the repentant man, a man after God's own heart. When kings go forth to battle, David was still abed. It was springtime. The winter rains are over. They were over. And kings go forth to battle. But David was abed. Had he been where he should have been, in the front line, he'd have never seen what he saw. You know, you need to obey the call of God. Don't, if the Spirit speaks, then obey it. Obey it. Because opportunity knocks only once, but the devil will bang day and night on your front door. So if the Spirit of God speaks, then you obey it. Samson's haircut was such an expensive haircut, wasn't it, when you stop and think about it? When you think about that haircut and what followed it, blindness, spiritually, morally, physically blind. But while Samson was in prison, God began a process of restoration. Can you hear the crowd shouting? It was a national celebration. Can you hear them shouting, "We want Samson, we want Samson"? They wanted him for ridicule and entertainment. They'd not realized that Samson's hair had begun. I just had a haircut. I have the once over, you know. I can't afford to go. £7. To have your hair cut. You can't believe it, can you? I say to Sue, get the shears out, you know, once over will do. But mine doesn't grow very fast these days. But Samson's hair grew back. It grew back. And when he came out with spiritual eyes, he could see where he was going. Couldn't see physically, but with spiritual eyes, he knew where he had to be. And we know where we have to be. With spiritual eyes, we know where we have to be. He asked the boy who accompanied him to lead him to the pillars on which the building rested. There were 3,000 men and women on the roof, in addition to those who were inside of the building. And then Samson prayed. Samson prayed. Only the second time you read of him praying. Only the second time, but he prayed. "Oh, sovereign Lord, remember me, O God. Strengthen me just once more. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Judges 16, verse 28. And with that, he grasped those two middle pillows, and he braced himself against them, and with a closing gasp, one last gasp, requested that he die with the Philistines. And the house fell in on all the Lord's people and all the people that were in it. It fell in. You stop and think about it. It fell in on the Lord's people, and it fell in on all the people we're about. When we build this building, not the physical building, but when we build this body of Christ, when we build this physical body of Christ, we need to build on a sure foundation, a foundation that will stand a foundation that will see us through for time and for eternity. And what Samson tells me is that God often gives his people a second chance. When we fall, we can either fall backward or forward. And that is, we can learn from what we've done and lay hold of the goodness of God. No one who falls is beyond the possibility of God's forgiveness. No one. As Samson's hair grew, his relationship with God grew as well. And in prison, he finally came to his senses and was restored. He died physically, but he went on to get his place, to earn his place in the great faith chapter of the book of Hebrews. There is always, to the repentant sinner, a second chance. Joshua feared. How do you follow a man like Moses? How do you follow this man? How do you follow this great man of God? How do you follow Moses when someone leaves the church? I had to follow a pastor. I thought, Lord, I'll never be able to stand in this man's shoes. I will never, ever be what he is. But God said, as I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. These great old warriors, you and I stand in their place today. We succeed them. We stand, you and I, between the people and hell. And the prospect can be daunting. But the provision of God is dynamic. How could Joshua cross the river? How could he cross the Jordan without Moses? How could he face the fortress of Jericho without Moses? Well, the answer is given us. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I pray as a church, as a body of people, as churches, that we might avail ourselves of the presence and the power of the Lord with us. That we would see what the cross has lain before us. The power and the glory. The victory is ours in Christ. Fear not, he says, little flock. Fear not. We have to reach out and we have to take it. We have to take what is there. Samson is there, as I said, in that great faith chapter, Hebrews 11. He believed God. He obtained the promise. He was faith's physical strength. He was faith's physical strength. I won't be too long. Judges 15 and verse 19, we'll finish with this. One of the great miracles in this Bible, water from the hollow made by God in the jawbone of an ass. It could be seen by the eyes. It could be seen by Samson, and Samson could use it. He used it, and in verse 17, he cast away the jawbone. He threw it away. Now, my prayer is this, that I would never be a castaway. Paul's prayer was that the final reward would always be his. Water from a jawbone that renewed and revived Samson. That's the potter. That's the clay. That's you and I. Molded and shaped. It provided Samson with a source, with a, you remember the old hymn, they ever sing it, the font of every blessing, Jesus, font of every blessing. Not many people know it. But it provided Samson with a font of blessing, a blessing of life, a living fountain of water. God has provided that for you and I. The Spirit of the Lord, if you could just grasp the might and the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He prayed for water, for blessing. Lehi, the unknown high place, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is ours to receive. And it demonstrates the power of God in this material realm, in the here and now. God wasn't through with Samson. We saw that. God needs Samsons in our day. Men and women who will not be bound by the tradition, who will preach the cross, Christ crucified. That's the ministry that this world needs today. This ministry is a source of blessing to many small, God-fearing fellowships, churches, thirsting to hear the truth. And those who will only bind their hands to Jesus, to bathe in the streams of mercy, to sing songs of loudest praise, who are prepared to raise a stone of help, to know God's grace by his word. Moses cast down the rod. Samson cast down the jawbone. But both picked them up again to use to deliverance. One to deliverance, the other to revival. Let me tell you this. Jesus still picks up cast down men and women. He still picks them up. And he still raises them to new life. He does that in you. Samson drank again. He needed to drink again. But Jesus said to the woman at Sychar's well, at Jacob's well, John 4, verse 14, I will give you, he says, a well of eternal life, a water, a well of eternal life, and you will never thirst again. You will never thirst again. Unfailing eternal water. Pray that God will pour out his Spirit without measure, a full anointing, and the ability to use its power to undergo a life that will realize Christ in all, Christ in me, the hope of glory. A church, Spirit-filled and Spirit-led, away with man. You know, man creates havoc in the church. Let the Holy Ghost have the free will of the church. Let him have it back and let him work in it. Let him come, let him work in the church. Away with the apathy and the indifference. As I was with Moses. You know, when I am sends you. This applies to us all. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you wherever you go, even until the end of the earth. Don't be afraid. He says, pick up my word. It's been cast down for long enough. Pick it up and go in my name, in my strength, upheld by my free spirit. By my word, he says, make new men and women toward. See, if we make them, God will give them a new and eternal home. The book of Revelation is an amazing book. Absolutely amazing. People say, come and preach on the book of Revelation, because they know so little about it. You know, it's a battle plan for churches. The church is like this in our day. It's not poetry. It's not prose. It's a battle plan. You pick it up and you run with it. You pick it up and you run with it. Revelation 21. John, come up here, he said. Come up here. It's exactly what he said to Moses, wasn't it? Before Moses died, God said, come up here and I'll take you on a tour. I'll show you the promised land. I'll show you everything there is. There must have been some tour. He took him all over and showed him the promised land and took him back to Mount Eden. And he said, look, you won't cross over. You'll die here and I will bury you. Because if I don't bury you, they will come and take your bones and they will take them with them and they will worship you. And God didn't want that. They were carrying Joseph's bones. God wanted Israel to worship God alone. So he took him on a grand tour. Absolutely amazing, isn't it? Come up here. And here he says it again to John. Look, come up here. Come up here and I will show you. I will show you. And John says, he showed me, says John the Apostle, a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the tabernacle of God. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And he that testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. And your prayer and my prayer should be, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the last promise of Scripture. The last promise of Scripture. And in the time remaining, the time that you and I have, I'm grey-headed. I'm getting to look old now, and I'm beginning to feel it. But God doesn't dispense with old age. God uses old age. God uses it. You can't go out and run about from street to street, but let me tell you this. In the closet of your own home, you can get down, and you can do more damage to Satan than all the standing on your feet, clapping your hands will ever do, because you can pray. You can pray the kingdom of God. You can break through in the heavenlies. And you can pray the kingdom of God into this earth. You can pray men and women into the kingdom. Men and women out there, they depend on you. The king is coming. Now we're running out of time. Amen. We're running out of time. The door is beginning to close and the king is coming. And praise God, he's coming for me. I can hear the angel. I can hear the trumpet singing. You know, I can stand up here and I can hear him. Look, we've come through the Old Testament. I can hear him coming. I can hear those footsteps getting nearer and nearer and nearer. And may we use the time of waiting. We wait between two great dispensations. His going home to the right hand of God and his coming again for you and for me, for the church. We'll be out and gone. Like that. Gone in the twinkling of an eye. Away and gone. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. And I believe he's not far away. While we wait, let us use what we have. As older people, the ability to pray, the experience of prayer, and the younger people have the feet and the hands and the words to do it. As a church, as a body of people, we need to be doing it in the day that we're living in. We're living in the last of days. We are living in the last of days. We have to be one in faith, one in body, one in spirit. Nothing can overcome a praying church. Nothing can overcome a praying church. There is nothing that Satan fears more than a praying church, than a praying church. It's amazing, isn't it, when you stop and think about it? You know, God in Christ coming into the world, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All the lessons that we have there, all the promises are yea and nay in Christ Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled, he said, neither let it be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me. And then he goes on to finish that great dispensation, to finish that great word. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. Not as a Jew, but as a man born again of the Spirit of God. One new man in Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go. And he's gone to prepare a place. To prepare a place for you and for me. And he said, if I go, and he's gone, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Joshua feared, how can I cross the Jordan? How can I cross the Jordan without Moses? How can we not cross the Jordan when we have Christ? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's amazing grace, isn't it? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Samson was a blind man with spiritual sight, the eyesight of the Spirit of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.